I just told him if a man answers, hang up. Didn't you hear about me, Gabe? If I'd been a ranch, they would have named me the Bar Nothing.
There never was a woman like Gilda, or a picture like Gilda. Columbia's outstanding screen triumph, starring Rita Hayworth, with Glenn Ford.
That's what I told Val, and that's what you're going to tell me.
Making me deceive my husband.
I got some news for you, Gilda. He didn't just buy something. He's in love with you.
One man bought Gilda. Another hated her and hungered for her.
I hate you too, Johnny. I hate you so much that I think I'm going to die from it. Darling.
Gilda, inflaming men's hearts with a kiss or a song.
Amado mio, love me forever, and let forever begin tonight. Put the blame on me, boy. Put the blame on me. One night she started to shim and shake. That brought on the Frisco quake.
Make her stop. What do you mean by it?
Now they all know what I am. And that should make you happy, Johnny. It's no use just you knowing it, Johnny. Now they all know that the mighty Johnny Farrell got taken. And that he married a...
Hi, welcome to Movie Humpas.
Hello, sir.
I'm Bob Sham.
I am Angela.
And it is a month that I call the left-handed endeavor. It's film noir all month long.
It's your happy place.
That's right. I do love me some films like this. These movies that would probably show more drug use and shit and murder if it wasn't for that Hays Code. Rita Hayworth becoming this kind of sex symbol bombshell.
This is a good movie, and she's really hot.
This is a good movie, and she is hot, even though she has a flat ass.
She has a flat ass. She tries to wiggle it at one point, and I'm like, what are you doing, girl?
But this was probably the biggest display of sexuality in the Criterion special, the old TV special, on the Criterion edition of this movie. It described her as the sex bombshell, the ultimate sex bombshell.
Because this is the woman right above your head.
Yeah, she's right behind me. She's been there pretty much this whole time. But yeah, we're talking about the film Gilda, 1946, directed by Charles Vidor, written by Joe Isager, Marion Parsonet, Ben Hecht, based on a story by E.A. Ellington, starring Rita Hayworth, Glenn Ford, George MacReady, Joseph Kalea, amongst others.
Yeah.
Gilda. This is that movie in the Shawshank Redemption when all the prisoners are sitting.
Red. Wait. Here she comes. This is the part I really like, is when she does that shit with her hair.
Oh, yeah, I know. I've seen it 3 times this month.
Gilda, are you decent?
Me?
God, I love it.
And you see the hair flip? It's the hair flip. And then the prisoners are like, ow, yeah. This is how people busted back then.
You know, last month we watched a movie called Mississippi Masala.
Yeah.
And our first introduction to the grown-up woman, it's sort of this thing that whether you even know where it comes from or not, she like was the first to do this thing that is this way that you introduce gorgeous women.
Yeah.
You know, is this huge like hair flip, oh, and here's my face, and oh, I'm perfect.
You had to be a hottie. But also the way that, you know, actors delivered themselves, it was kind of more centered around swag and beauty. Yeah. They appreciated the Laurence Olivier's of the day. But she had some talent. Her father was a dancer. She dances in this movie.
She sings beautifully.
She was a well-rounded entertainer.
My favorite, Rita Hayworth. One of my favorite moments in this movie is when she is just playing the guitar and singing to Uncle Pio.
The
blame
man.
It on Mame.
Put the blame on Mame, boys. Put the blame on Mame. Mame gave a chump such an ice cold no.
for 7 days they shovel snow so you can put the blame on Maine Boy.
Blame it on Maine.
Blame it on
Maine Boy.
Which is so appropriate that we revisit that song like 3 times in this movie. And it's appropriate because she does sort of get blamed for everything. When really she's just honestly just trying to make a guy jealous.
Right. You know, it really starts off strong film noir. Like,
it's the idea that a woman can be so gorgeous that it can like take down cities.
Right. The lead played by Glenn Ford is doing the narration like in Sunset Boulevard, mm-hmm. which I think actually came out after this. And then she's like this stunner, this femme fatale when you finally meet her. He's like this kind of ne'er-do-well. They live in Argentina and this man saves him from being mugged.
When he's been in Argentina for like 2 weeks, I think he says.
And then the guy's like, hey, there's old gambling hall. Gambling's illegal in Argentina, but come on, you can come hang out here. He goes in there and he's grifting at blackjack. And then he gets pulled into an office and it's the guy that saved him.
And he basically was like, dude, I told you you could come here, but not to cheat. And he's like, I just know how to count cards. Let me work for you.
Yeah. And so he does. And then the man is like,
this I must be sure of, that there is no woman anywhere.
There's no woman anywhere.
Gambling and women do not mix.
Those are the very words I use myself. Now, shall we quit talking about it?
There was one once.
Get this, Mr. Munson. I was born last night when you met me in that alley. That way I'm no past and all future, see? And I like it that way.
He goes away for a trip and comes back with a woman.
Yeah.
You can tell immediately that these two people already know each other.
Yeah.
Because they already hate each other.
Now, is the way that it's communicated, because we do come to understand that they had a relationship prior. It kind of unravels a little bit. But is it Hayes Codeness to not...
Well,
this is why I want to talk about the Hayes Code. Can I talk about some rules of the Hayes Code?
I would love that, because you reference it quite a bit, and I think it'd be good to, like, break it down.
These are the strong don'ts of the Hayes Code.
Okay.
All right? No pointed profanity by their title or lip. This includes the words God, Lord, Jesus Christ, unless they be used reverentially. Hell, SOB, damn, God, and every other profane and vulgar expression, however it may be spelled. The Catholic Church, especially a guy later who helped enforce the Hayes Code, the Catholic Church was kind of like the undercurrent of these rules.
Sounds like it.
Any licentious or suggestive nudity, in fact or in silhouette, any lecherous or licentious notice thereof by any other characters in the picture, of the illegal traffic in drugs, which goes to show why gambling is probably the number one vice in all of film noir, mm-hmm. right?
Gambling and, like, illegal drinking.
Especially well into the 30s, yeah. Any inference of sex perversion, they probably in their minds thought considered homosexuality, which is why everything is, like, under the surface.
Yeah, or, like, spanking or something, probably. Too.
White slavery, specifically white women being sex trafficked. Miscegenation, mixed races. So you weren't the Hayes Code. That was a strong don't. No mixed race relationship.
That's why they had to make a borderline in.
Borderline was made in Switzerland.
That's what I'm saying. That's why they had to make it in Switzerland.
Yeah. I think the Hayes Code, it took it a bit. That was before it was really hard in effect.
Sure, that makes sense.
And even then, what's interesting is that different states had different standards. Mm-hmm. Like, you didn't have to technically follow the Hayes Code, but there was just pressure on studios. So when it's all.
They might not show your movie.
When it's all conglomerated into the California Hollywood system, then it kind of forces the hand of it all to kind of be like this.
Yeah.
No venereal disease, no sex hygiene, scenes of actual childbirth and factor silhouette, no children's sex organs, ridicule of the clergy, and willful offense to any nation, race, or creed. Now, that sounds good. But
you know that's not real.
Let's think about, it did not apply to African nations. It did not apply to Asian nations.
No.
It applied
they
to...
They made it a point also to say Euro, white slavery.
It applied to Euro nations. And it applied specifically up to a point until Nazis were convicted under conspiracy within the United States. After that, they were more commonly seen as criminals. but it implied to actual Nazis and bringing up the Holocaust until Nazis were able to be convicted within the United States.
Oh my God. Could
that apply? Like, oh, you can't disrespect their culture of internment camps. And yeah, so you read that on its surface, it's like, oh, that sounds very nice. Got to show respect to other nations. It's like, no, they're only thinking of specific European nations.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And there's a bunch of be carefuls and a bunch of little made up rules that they came up with along the way, especially with like if there was a kiss, like 1 foot had to be on the floor.
Yeah.
You couldn't kiss horizontally.
Yeah.
We've talked before about in Casablanca, they kissed like multiple times separate mm-hmm. because they couldn't kiss for a long extended period of time. And what's interesting about Casablanca was that there's also a bunch of be carefuls that I won't get into. You know, the idea that she was married and she reunited with her lover, kind of a similarity here.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're in a far off place and mm-hmm. being reacquainted. The codes might come down on you if they ended up together because she's essentially committing adultery.
Yeah.
But under the code rules, Rick is the end of that movie. The most kind of noble and notable thing about the movie is that Rick's like, you know, maybe someday we can get back together, but I'm trying to save you now. And you need to go. They can't be together.
Yeah.
And that becomes like a touching part of the movie. So yeah. It's like a weird, but under, so that's more of a Hays Code worthy ending.
That's so interesting.
It's really, it is interesting because there are times where it seems like it forces a creative hand.
Mm-hmm.
And other times where it does seem really suppressive. But when you're watching movies from these times, you can't help but wonder what they would have done if it wasn't there.
Yeah.
Because a lot of film noir, of course, kind of had to tighten up a little bit. And it had to be more about the glam and the swag as opposed to,
yes.
like, blatant visuals of the seedy underbelly.
I do feel like this one pushes it probably as far as you can, because there is the scene where she's getting ready for carnival and she's got her leg up. It's got hose on it,
yeah.
But that's it. Her slits are real high. It's a costume, though.
Yeah.
And then she's performing later, and you can see, I mean, I think like probably bathing suits were fine. You weren't really seeing anything, but the outfits that she's in are very suggestive, you know? There's the implication that she is cheating on her husband, but never with the man she used to be in a relationship with. But then there's that line at the very end where the cop goes, you know, she wasn't doing anything ever. She was just trying to make you jealous. She never did anything.
Yeah.
So the idea that she was actually faithful to that husband until she thought he was dead, like legitimately he was claimed dead, and then she could be with this guy.
Yeah.
So, but they really weren't actually together until he really, really was dead. They got married, but then
he punished
didn't
her.
Consummate.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. You're right. Like, they wrote that line of...
But when you read between the lines, when the writers and the directors and the actors are crafty enough to spell these things out that they can't explicitly point out,
mm-hmm.
talk about these elements of crime and the underhandedness. Like, there's a point in Gilda where she's like asking men to take her dress off just to like make everyone jealous. Like, oh, like everyone can have me, essentially.
Yeah, like she's
just
gonna
to fuck
a full
with dude.
Yeah,
I'm not very good at zippers. But maybe if I had some help...
I'll help you.
I am an expert.
But if she was like, all right, I'm gonna make some money tonight, $5 a pop, that would be bad under the Hays goes.
Yeah.
But her casually being like, come along, boys, take my dress off. There's something like... real saucy about that.
Oh, I need help with my zipper.
Yes.
So they are skirting that line. You're right. Like, the language that's being used is very.
But without saying it, she's like, hey, let's all, you could all have a piece just to make this guy fucking jealous. When she meets the Glenn Ford character, Johnny Farrell,
yeah.
we do establish that they knew each other before. They had a relationship before we met these characters in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And she rebounded by marrying this guy who
hired him. This is so weird because. You know, he hooked up with this guy in Argentina. The assumption, they never spell it out. They always say they were all born the night they met, right?
No past, we're just future only.
We're only the future. And so you really don't get a lot of details except that they were in a relationship. And you wonder, like, did she follow him? Did she find out who he was working for? Like, this can't be that much of a coincidence because she wanted him.
When Ballin introduces Johnny, the camera... like, bends where you just see the cuts between just Gilda and Johnny.
Because but, Ballin doesn't matter.
And you can hear Ballin.
It certainly was. You should have seen his face.
Did you tell him what I'm doing here, Ballin?
No, I wanted to save that as a surprise, too.
Hang on to your hat, Mr. Farrell.
Gilda is my wife, Johnny.
He might as well be 1,000 miles away. It's very noticeable. It's just like locked between them. And we know a little later that they had a relationship just before we walked into this story.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where that thing about you can't really hate someone unless you really loved them.
Yeah.
You know, like you can obviously think someone's terrible and bad, but that like white hot, like I want to rip your eyeballs out if you've been betrayed because you had that much fire as well. It's like that whole, they were so in love.
And this,
that now they want to destroy each other.
Watching this character, Gilda, played by Rita Hayworth, it's like I described to you. It's like if an atomic bomb turned into a hot chick. And like everyone, every time she moves, she goes somewhere. There's players all around her. People that work for her. People that we discover are undercover police.
Yeah.
They're all like talking to Johnny like, oh, I got to see what's going to happen. You're all in trouble. And we're and all they're doing is just watching this woman just walk through all this, their lives. And they're treating her like she's the most dangerous thing that everybody wants.
But she obviously, and she's flirting with people, but she obviously is just constantly trying to make Johnny jealous.
Villain has Johnny basically keep an eye on her and keep her from being, you know, unfaithful.
He doesn't figure it out until a little bit later that they had a relationship.
Yeah.
But he figures it out on his own.
Also, there's issues. Some German guys keep showing up. And this is real interesting because the word Nazi is, I don't think it's thrown around.
No.
But you know that they're Nazis. I mean, the war ends during the movie. Mm-hmm. And then these German guys start showing up. And Balin has a scar that runs right
it's
here.
Like, yeah, all across
his. Now, a visual trophy for German men of a certain time during this time where they would go to school and they would fence and they would scar the fuck out of each other. So when you see like Nazi officers and villains in movies with scars all over their face, there is actually something to that because that represented this weird like hyper-masculine subculture where, I took a fence blade to the face when I was in college or whatever, and now, like, this is how badass I am, and now I'm a commanding officer type.
Yeah, well, and Ballin wasn't a German, but he was a rich man, and he dealt with the Germans, and what we end up finding out is that basically they made a gentleman's agreement that the German guys, I don't know who's, like, their boss, but these, like, messenger guys explained that they signed over their rights to this, like, tungsten mine to Ballin with this gentleman's agreement that when the war was over, he would sign it back to the Germans, and he wasn't gonna do that.
Yeah.
So they were showing up all mad.
I still kind of consider Ballin a Nazi.
No, sure, he's in cahoots. Like, he's not a good guy. Like, he's trying to make a monopoly. Like, he's bad.
But the police who explain themselves to Johnny later, Nazis did run away to South America, Argentina, places like that. But
for sure.
Which was a thing. So it was actually like historically appropriate that Germans just start showing up after the point of they're celebrating the war ending.
Yeah.
The police aren't upset that they're runaway war criminals. They're upset that they're breaking antitrust laws, essentially, right? So it goes to a fever pitch with Johnny and Gilda. And then they're getting into it. They hate each other, but they love each other.
Hate is a very exciting emotion. Haven't you noticed? Very exciting. I hate you too, Johnny. I hate you so much that I think I'm going to die from it. Darling.
They smooch and Ballin sees them.
And it's the same night that he's killed one of the Germans and he's going to escape. And he came home to get Gilda.
And in a great shot, they chase him to like a plane.
Yes.
That goes flying off. And then, it actually looks really cool. And I like the way it showed the plane crashing.
Yeah.
But he bailed out of the plane.
Before that moment, I really loved the moment where they're kissing. And they hear the bedroom door shut, and she just looks at Johnny and goes, "You left it open when you came in."
Yeah.
Like, that's the, it's just this, the way that they do it. And then, like you said, then you look out, and he's, like, already running down the stairs like he's a fucking villain in a cartoon.
And that's when he flies off. And then he goes to there, and it's fakes his amazing. Death.
Yes.
So Johnny and Gilda getting married, but Johnny in a weird bit of, like, uptight revenge.
He wants to punish
on her. Behalf of Ballin, his old boss. He hires a guy to be even stricter on her than he was on her. Mm-hmm. And she can't do shit. Mm-hmm. And he just keeps her like a bird in a cage.
She even runs away at one point, and he like hires someone to basically convince her that he loves her and to come back.
Yeah.
So that she can get an annulment.
Yeah.
And it's really just a guy working for Johnny.
Right. It's like he's so like crafty on how.
You know what I think it is though? Like he says it's because she didn't honor Ballin, right? But he's now married her. No, and you know that personal. He loves her. It's so personal because he thinks that she slept with all those men and that she wasn't faithful to Ballin. Yes, that's part of it. But it's not because she wasn't faithful to Ballin. It's because she wasn't faithful to Ballin, he doesn't believe she'd be faithful to him. Like, he can't be with her because he can't trust her because she's not trustworthy.
And you can't blame him for not trusting her. She really doesn't give anyone any reason to trust.
I get it.
Like, I think even people who admire her and know nothing about her instinctively know that she can't be trusted. Like, it's like she might as well have a sign hanging over her head that just says femme fatale on it.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh, but, yeah. She's Jessica Rabbit.
But by the end, she's just kind of like this broken bird, right? She, mm-hmm. She's really not that bad. She maybe just moves a little quick, but she's like really not a bad person at all.
No.
When he goes to say goodbye, because ultimately he can't stop her. It'd be kidnapping to a point. But she's going to leave and he's going to say goodbye. And then they kind of openly fall for each other again.
He's been under like house arrest and the cop told him she didn't do all this stuff. So he just kind of let go of her.
Yeah.
So they haven't seen each other for a minute. And then, yes, they come back together. It's very great.
And then Ballin pops out of his office. He had planned on returning.
And my favorite character,
Uncle Pio.
I intended to kill you with this, Johnny. I thought it amusing to have one of my little friends kill the other. But now it won't do. Because I have to kill Gilda, too. I told you I'd be looking.
Yes, Uncle Pio.
I love him.
He's like the wise man, the lighthearted wise man.
He's always like, Johnny, are you going to be a gentleman or a peasant? And like, and he goes to like save his boss instead of the girl, and he's like, peasant.
So Ballin has this cane with a sword in it.
Mm-hmm.
But when he sets his cane down, Uncle Pio, hero of the movie, stabs Ballin in the back before he can pull onto Gilda and Johnny, and then he's dead. And then the cop.
Saw the whole thing.
That'd been floating around. They're like, yeah, he died 3 months ago in a plane crash.
He comes out of the shadows and he's like, don't you know that you can't be convicted of killing someone who's already dead?
And it's, you know, not quite like Out of the Past. A movie that we're not talking about this month because we already discussed it. Go back and look at that. I love that movie.
It's Out of the Past is great.
It's not sad at the end like the way Out of the Past. It actually ends on a high note. They end up together.
And they're going back to America.
Yeah, and Ballin's dead, so she's not committing adultery.
Yeah.
So that's for the Hays Coders out there. The Hays Code. Interesting times.
They're probably not really married, though.
Well, if Ballin...
They got married when she was already still married, but he was technically dead.
If Ballin wasn't dead, then Johnny and Gilda really aren't married. That's what I'm saying. Pretty much cancels them out, particularly. But if Ballin is dead... Wait, do they have... Yeah, you just said that. You just asked that.
Yeah. They might have to get married again in America. It's fine.
No, because he died.
Oh, legally, because if you are legally dead, you can't be married anymore.
Yeah. So it all kind of wraps up very nicely. Very well shot movie. Rita Hayworth absolutely glows in this movie. She is definitely the lead, and she has like nice performances too. That Hayes era exuding sexuality that almost feels more erotic than if she could show a tit or some shit, you know?
Yeah, because it's the what you can't see thing.
It's the notes you don't play.
Also, you know, we've talked about this in movies before, about how some of these older films can sometimes feel a little too clever.
Yeah.
But it fucking works. Because the people truly are, like, that smooth. Like, you had to be good at talking. You had to be quick on your feet. You had to be snappy.
Yeah.
You know, there wasn't texting and what the fuck ever people do to meet now. Like, you had to make a strong, good impression.
But also, these characters are just genuinely fragile and kind of easily fall apart at the sight of each other as well. Like, they are smooth, but they always have witty things to say. But
there's a realness under.
But they're also just completely broken, right? So that's what kind of makes it all balance out interestingly.
We also got something that we love that we don't always get, which is entire top to bottom performances. And they actually let us see her dance when she's dancing.
Yeah.
You know, I really loved those moments.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
A little hybrid-y. Like, it starts off like real classic noir, and then it just kind of ends up being like a typical romance at the end.
Yeah.
Maybe not that typical, but
a noir-mance.
What? More of a date movie by the end of it, right?
Sure.
A noir-mance. That's what we'll call it. Yeah. All right, so we're going to judge this movie.
Yeah.
You get 1 through 5, I get 1 through 5 combined for best out of 10.
Yeah.
What do you give Charles Vidor's iconic Gilda?
Yeah, I thought it was gorgeous. And the shots were great. I'm going to go 4.25.
I'm going to match you. Yeah. 8.5.
Yeah.
We also have the benefit of hindsight, but this movie has such a cultural resonance that we've kind of seen throughout. I mean, we're more on the up of this kind of thing. But yeah, like I mentioned, the Shawshank Redemption thing. I think that original Stephen King story was based on a short called Rita Hayworth and the something something. Or
oh,
some
wow.
Sort. Like it was, she still is a visual standard for a certain era of Hollywood.
Absolutely.
And this is the movie that brought that visual standard to the greater zeitgeist.
Like, that dress that she is in with those gloves is why Jessica Rabbit is dressed the way that she's dressed. Whether, like, it's just in the zeitgeist. Like you said, it's just in the, when you don't even know. Like, I was talking about, like, Mississippi Masala. Like, truly, I thought of that scene when I saw her flip her hair. Like, what is it? It's reverberations.
Reverberations.
Reverberation. I have a hard time saying that word. Reverberations. Set that scene up, might not have even consciously known it. But it's there.
Take a peek. Right at the 8.5s, it shares, it's in league with Mississippi Masala. We gave it the same exact score. Fox and His Friends, Devil in a Brood Dress, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, The Searchers, Wild at Heart, Akira, films like that. Gilda actually may be more influential than much of this
that's
list.
That's true.
No doubt. I mean, you know, up at 0.25.
Yeah,
we can just do whatever the fuck we want.
Yeah, dude.
Now it's in league with great films such as Hellraiser.
Yes!
Sounds about Pinhead right.
Pinhead and Rita Hayworth.
Sounds about right. Yes, Hellraiser is better than The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, according to us. Hellraiser is better than The Searchers. Look, it's just opinions and assholes, folks.
Absolutely. Sometimes I just vote with my heart.
It's noir all fucking month long. All right, so just strap in. Grab your guns. Keep them ready. Get your hat like this or your fedora. And get your hottest nightgown on. And put a flower in your hair. And kill somebody.
Yeah.
Because it's
or not
the left-handed endeavor, noir all month long. Check the links in the show notes for other places to find us. Like, subscribe, leave us a comment, say whatever you'd like. Talk about this movie. I know y'all got some deep facts about this movie.
Oh, you have to.
Lay it on me. Lay it on me. And the thing we say at the end of every episode of Noir Month.
I don't think I can do it.
Come on. Do it.
Yeah, see?